the primary goal of the eco districts is to reduce waste, get to net zero by 2030, and 100% renewable energy by 2030 as well.
Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of Sustaining with Shayna, a show where I will share all the amazing and exciting works of sustainability happening across the eastern foothills of the Appalachian Mountains to the lush farmlands of southeastern Pennsylvania. By celebrating our community, we can help to bridge the gap between local and international sustainability endeavors. Today's guest is Noel Rivera. Noel is running for the 127th House District seat here in Pennsylvania as the Green Party candidate, which comprises of parts of the city of Reading and also the borough of Kenhurst. Together, we talked about a lot of issues that he's passionate about and why he's running. Some of those key issues are helping to make Reading a more green, sustainable city. And one of those is trying to help Reading become an eco district. We talk about this more later in the episode about what an eco district is. But we also talk about a variety of other issues, including what it means that rail service might be coming back to the city of Reading. And what does that look like for Reading, who is in an economic downfall right now, and what passenger rail service could mean for the community and also the region. So, before we hear more about our discussion, first, I have some thoughts about the election and where we're at, and what does it mean when voting this year, especially when it comes to climate change. So sit back, relax, and tune in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi there, friends and listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Sustaining with Shayna. Whether you're tuning in here from right here in Berks County, Pennsylvania, or halfway around the world, I'm glad you're here for another episode. So, it seems like a lot has been going on in these last few weeks, and it's hard to wrap our brains around it and to really pick up our heads and to find a fulcrum that we can hold ourselves onto as we steer the ship through the next few weeks and the next few tumultuous weeks. And what I mean by that is we are a little over a week away from Election Day. And here in the U.S., it is a major, major election. And even though it's a presidential election and it's a year that every 4 years when we elect a new president. But it's not just about whether you vote for Trump or if you vote for Biden. It's even more crucial than that. Because we're also voting for other elected officials, whether they represent us in Washington or if they represent us in our own state capitals. But it's hard to still have sustained focus on key issues and to be concerned about what we all hold dear, especially the fact that coronavirus has been picking up lately, and also latest news that has been coming out about climate change and just a variety of factors. And just please know that you're not alone. And if you are stressed out and feel like you're burned out, it's not just you. And sometimes I feel like a lot of those political ads and a lot of the banter back and forth right now with the election is designed to make us feel like we're burned out. Whether that means to force us into voting for somebody or if it forces us to feel like what's the point in voting at all. But I think it's important to hold true to our values and to vote for our conscience, vote our conscience and vote for the issues that we most hold dear about. For me, of course, just like with this podcast, it really comes down to climate change, but also understanding the fact that climate change is the key issue for me when voting. But I also understand that climate change intersects a lot of issues. When they talk about the fact that when the resolution was released for the process to begin of making the Green New Deal a potential bill in Washington back in February of last year, people were scratching their heads like, why does healthcare for all need to be in a Green New Deal plan? What is it, its purpose? It seems completely unnecessary. Well, to those pundits and politicians, I would say, is you're ignoring the fact of the intersectionality climate change has with several issues. And one of those being public health. To the fact that we are seeing increased air pollution in certain areas where there's high levels of environmental contamination and the prolonged effects that air pollution has on illnesses like asthma to upper respiratory diseases to cancer. And of course, then that makes it even worse when COVID comes to town. So climate change is a very intersected issue. It intersects with other things like racism. Racism and climate change definitely go hand in hand because the people who are on the front lines of climate change are those who experience racism the most and who are being pushed out and being put on the front lines of their community and being held in the most vulnerable parts of their community. Places where a lot of factories that are now abandoned to Superfund sites. But I think also it doesn't just go for public health and racism, but other issues like women's rights are also a factor in that, in the sense that women, just like people of color, are pushed out on the front lines and are forced to deal with it, not in the same way that men are able to avoid this issue and avoid destruction. I wish I could have all the magic answers when it comes to this election. And I wish I could wave my magical wand and just say that climate change will be an issue solved after the election. Or magically things will go back to a way that we can manage things and it doesn't seem like the world is descending into chaos. Or a pandemic isn't struck across the world, adding to even bigger problems. But unfortunately, that's not the case here. And we can't ignore the fact that even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of these systemic issues and existential issues will still continue. So, it might not feel like your voice is being heard or that your vote doesn't count, but it still does. And for those of you that might be listening and saying, well, why? What's the point, Shayna? Why should I even vote? I was at a rally last weekend and I was talking about these very same issues. And I had a young man that was screaming in my direction and trying to sideline the speech that I was giving, that your voice doesn't count, your vote doesn't count. Well, let me be clear. When politicians talk about the fact that there is voter fraud, that's not... A lot of the things they talk about voter fraud don't exist, because if they weren't trying to silence you with your vote and your voice, they wouldn't be doing anything in their power to stop you from voting. We see that across the country, especially in the South, that is dominated by communities of color, and the white elected officials across the South are doing what they can to still hold that power, because at this point, they know they are losing their power. So they're doing what they can to disenfranchise those same communities that could be affected by environmental pollution and climate change in their communities from stopping their voice to be heard at their state capitals or even in Washington. So when you say, what's the point? Why should I vote? Why shouldn't I vote? Well, if you still have the right to vote, please vote, because there are brothers and sisters across, even whether it's Pennsylvania or if it's across the country, that don't have the ability to vote. Whether they've been forced to pay exorbitant amount of fines after they've been released from prison, like in Florida, because there's an excuse for them to not be able to vote. Or some people are not allowed to even vote at all, for variety of reasons. We can't selfishly look at the fact that just because we're lost and just because we might not think our voice counts, but think about your neighbor who can't vote. Think about the people in your community that are still waiting citizenship but are more involved in the political process than maybe you are. How can you be an ally, and how can you help for their voice to be heard in the voting booth or on the ballot? At this point, I feel like there's not much to say between now and Election Day. But I guess the only other thing I would say between now and then is that climate change and other issues, a lot of other issues that are just always on the topic of politicians' slate of wanting to discuss as far as issues, really shouldn't be on the ballot, but unfortunately they are. Climate change is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't even be a bipartisan issue. It should be a societal issue that we all take up together. But unfortunately, a vast majority of our politicians don't believe it's real. And half the time they're bought out by dangerous corporations that tell them to... almost even tell them to say those things just so they can get elected. And it's really sad that we live in a world that people selfishly put themselves before other people. So, if I have anything to say, and if you're still on the fence about deciding to vote and who to vote for and what to vote about, think about this. Especially for the listeners who are well past their prime, in the sense that they're not like me, that are still struggling in their 20s, still have their whole life ahead of them. that think about where you were when you were my age, trying to figure out the world and trying to figure out that landscape, and knowing how troublesome that was and scary it was for you. Now imagine what the world doesn't just look like today for people my age, but what it's going to look like for my grandchildren or my children at my current age. Will they live in a just, fair society? Will they have a habitable planet? For God's sakes, it is October, almost November, and for the first time on record, the Arctic still hasn't, the ice still hasn't started to freeze yet. It's almost November. And one last thing I will say with that is I was reading a report over the weekend that the Rodale Institute, an organization that has been known as the founders of the organic farming movement and has been a key stronghold in not just here in Berks County in Pennsylvania, where they are home to, but just also the fact that they've done a lot of international influential work when it comes to this area. And back in 2014, they issued the first of a series of white papers on climate change connection to farming and agribusiness and the big industry that's a part of that. And between 2014 and when this report was released within the last month or so in 2020, throughout the world, 38 billion tons of carbon was released into the atmosphere in only 6 years. And what I mean by carbon being released, that's carbon that's extracted from the ground and released as CO2. So that could be us burning fossil fuels, dirty industry polluting, or another way is for us driving our vehicles. 38 billion tons. And we are quickly on a path that they reference in their white paper, that we are on a path of seeing 4 degrees Celsius increase in temperature before the end of the century. And when the International Governmental Panel on Climate Change came out with their report in 2018, they said we must maintain or get below 1.5 degrees Celsius increase by the end of the century. Unfortunately, in that time since then, we are way above that. So now we're at a point of maintaining and adapting to these new realities. That is something we need to think about when voting next week, because we are voting for policymakers who either choose to sideline climate change or who fail to do anything about it, or frankly, like the president, just outright denies that climate change is even real. So, which one is it? Are you voting for the climate or not? So, with that being said, next up, I have a guest on who is running for the Green Party in a local office here, and he'll be talking about his ideas and what that could mean here for our community. So without further ado, he's up next. Welcome back to another episode of Sustaining with Shayna. And this is a continuation of the series talking about climate change and racism and the election. And really trying to get voters educated on a lot of different ideas and issues, but what the road lies ahead before and after the November the 3rd election. So with that being said, today I have on somebody who's running for a local House district race here in Berks County. That's not a mainstream party member, and I think it's important we hear those perspectives out of the two-party system. So without further ado, Noel, please introduce yourself to the listeners.
All right, hi. My name is Noel Rivera, and I'm running for PA House Representative for District 127 for the Green Party. My campaign is focused mainly on community engagement and rebuilding the local economy. And I'm running as a green candidate because I want to be able to do that in the most green way possible.
So in addition to that, can you expound a little on like why the Green Party and not like being a part of the two-party system, in the sense that I think we have this two-party system and this is all we think about. And I think it's important to think about, especially the fact that the Democratic Party in Pennsylvania tried to kick the Green Party off the ballot as far as the presidential candidate. So you would be a down ballot candidate. So why the Green Party and not why the Dems or the running with the Dems or the Republicans is my question.
Well, to put it simply, I won't sacrifice my personal beliefs and values and integrity just to be a part of one of the two mainstream parties. But the reason I am not, I don't support either of the main two parties is because, well, for starters, I was almost a Republican at one point, and I wanted to basically try to help fix capitalism from the inside, which is why I got an accounting degree, and I wanted to be a forensic accountant, which it's still not out of the question, but and then just watching the way politics and stuff plays out and the way our Democratic leadership as well as our Republican leadership handle certain situations, they're not out for us. They're out for themselves to maintain power and wealth, both parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that's an issue that Bernie Sanders was driving home for so long. And I mean, the only way he could realistically run for president was to register for one of the two main parties, then unregister to go back to his actual party designation, which right. I think is important to understand because at this point, it seems like it's hard to figure out where that line is drawn between who's looking out better for us everyday Pennsylvanians or just everyday Americans. So I think one of the things in as part of like your interest in your platform is mentioning this idea of an eco district for the city of Reading. Can you talk a little bit more about what an eco district is and how would that look like for you as a an elected state representative for the city of Reading.
Right. So Eco Districts it is an organization that a nonprofit organization that they published the protocol and they facilitate the certification process. An eco district is a community that comes together and collaboratively decide on various things, various solutions for various problems that are in each neighborhood or district, or it could be a business district or a redevelopment district. It could be a brownfield. It could be an already established community or down by the lake or something like that. Each eco district is completely different from the rest because each one addresses the specific needs of that community. The primary goal of eco districts is to reduce waste, get to net zero by 2030, and 100% renewable energy by 2030 as well. And to do that, the community, they will elect a board, and they then they come up with, they decide on solutions together, but these solutions have to address what Eco Districts calls the three imperatives, which is equity, resilience, and climate protection. And so, say trash, for example, because that's one thing that is a problem in Reading. Trash on the streets, trash overflowing the dumpsters and stuff like that. So your solution to solving that problem has to not cause barriers for access to various resources, and that's the equity aspect of it. And then it has to address the solution has to be able to keep the district at a ready position to bounce back from natural disasters or economic strife and things like that. That's the resilience aspect of it. And then it has to, the solution would have to, again, reduce waste, reduce carbon, and reach for renewable energy. And that would be the climate protection aspect of it. And then the eco district, the community, and the board, they have to go through a certification process, which is done through a third party. And that in itself is a little bit lengthy, but an eco district in just about any place would generate new jobs just implementing the eco district as well as maintaining the eco district.
So with all of that said and kind of explaining that in more detail, how could you see this like be rolled out? Because in the sense of like you would be elected to represent majority of the city of Reading and Kenhurst, and Bubba would be representing the community from Harrisburg. So how could you work with the city to kind of carry out a plan like this? And then another part of that loaded question is, how could that kind of work into the already established and continuing to be developed climate action plan for the city of Reading?
Well, I think, first of all, it kind of fits right into the climate action plan. Everything that that is needed in the climate action plan is addressed in establishing an eco district. And me from Harrisburg, I would probably be mostly doing outreach and education, trying to get the community together to act and to form this eco district board and so forth.
So I guess as far as like with the eco districts go in general, are there any that really exist here in Pennsylvania to kind of provide like a context to it in the sense of it, like this could be a rolling like program that could happen in other parts, not just Reading.
Yes, actually, there's three in Pittsburgh, and they're in close proximity of each other. And they, I believe, they're in the middle of deciding whether they want to operate as one or have the option to maintain their individual status. But they've been around for, I don't have their information up, but they've been around for, not more than 10 years. The program I believe is even less than 10 years long. I mean old. But they are doing well. They're expanding and things, and that's why they are considering well, I'm not sure if they're really considering it or if it's just an idea. A possibility of them joining in into being one community.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting concept, and honestly, until hearing it through you mentioning it to the Reading for 100 team, I was like, "What is this? I've never heard it before," and thought it would be good to talk about it. So, kind of to address like one factor of that is. So for the city of Reading, for those who are tuning into this episode that do not live in the city or even don't live in Berks that would know, that the city of Reading is the city of Reading's economy largely drives the economy of Berks. But the fact that there is a high unemployment rate in the city, and I think I looked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics last night, and it's something like 13.4% unemployment rate. And I mean, that's a growing issue to a lot of problems that's happened over the years with the city of Reading. Is with talking about the eco districts and talking about a more sustainable future for the community. What are some ways that you can help to plan or help to influence or bring green and sustainable jobs to Reading? Because honestly, I feel like in the conversations I've had with different kinds of people, whether they're white, Latino, to even like the Black community in Reading, it's just like, we're not going to talk about this if we can't talk about like what directly affects us right in front, because we have to be concerned about the very finite issues in our lives, and one of those is jobs. So how could you help to bring more greener and sustainable jobs to Reading?
Well, aside from the eco district itself, the city, I've been following the city council meetings, and they have a few ideas that will bring jobs, mostly revenue, but jobs to the downtown area. And Amazon, I guess, is going to be coming into to the Berks County area. As from Harrisburg, I would be pushing for these improvements and projects to be greener themselves and that'd probably be the best that I could do.
Yeah, and I think like I've heard conversations and like trying to address those issues, and I feel like things are starting to change, but I was having a conversation with somebody recently because I was gonna the one thing that I was thinking about is just like the fact that I think within the last like few years there was a it was in the news, the county commissioners were like, yay, hurrah, about the whole recycling plant that went in. But that recycling plant is not in the confines of the city of Reading. So it seems like constantly at every turn when there's new progress that happens, or if it's green jobs like that, it doesn't happen in the city. So it's really frustrating to watch that. And I mean, I know this is not necessarily talking about like sustainable jobs, but how do you feel about the train potentially coming back to Reading? Because even though that's a little more sustainable option of transportation, but I feel like that could totally revolutionize like the local economy. So it's, yeah. So I'm curious, what's your thoughts about that?
I really like the idea. I still need to do a little bit of research on it, because I wanna see the financial and economic impact that it will have. Because one of my main concerns when an area implements improvements like that, especially on such a large scale like that, that affects so many different communities, is the cost of doing business and the cost of living in those immediate areas, that will always be affected by changes like that. So if they can establish a plan to mitigate that and be proactive in that aspect, I'm all for it. That's a great idea.
Yeah, like what you just mentioned there, it's this whole concerning issue about gentrification and how that can change the city and not necessarily a positive way. And I mean, what was it? I was having conversations with somebody recently that, again, this is not necessarily like sustainable jobs, but just the fact that now the Drexel Medical School, pretty much, I guess, I would have to research this too, but like pretty much will solely exist in Berks County. And I swear to God, if that medical school wasn't leaving Center City, Philadelphia, we would not be having the conversation we're having right now about this train. And I think it's fascinating that I heard recently, and I have to figure out like the actual research and information about this, but from what I've heard from somebody that is on Reading's EAC, I believe was the person that I talked to about this, that there was talk that maybe there would be like a train stop in Wyomissing that could like go directly to this new hospital and new like health system and medical school. But it's fascinating because the way the lines are drawn and how it's always been when the Reading Railroad was established and how the freight industry still uses those same old lines, is there's no way for it to realistically go to Wyomissing. So it'll be interesting to see if the train does get the money and the train does get approved to come back, is how is that going to change Penn Street in Reading? How is that going to change Franklin Street, where the train station is? That it's, I mean, I feel like it's going to become completely gentrified, and it's just fascinating of how, I don't know, I feel like people are going to take advantage of the community when it could be a great sustainable step in the right direction to a green future in Reading, but we can't just look at that. We have to look at the whole picture.
Right. And that's another thing. With these city council meetings that I've been watching, I've noticed that they have a lot of these good ideas and stuff for primarily for the business district, but for Reading as a whole. And that's one thing that I don't feel that they consider. That I don't feel that they consider all the time the environment and how it's going to affect everyone else. And from Harrisburg, I'd like to work closely with city council and address those issues with the plans and strategies that they plan to implement.
And I feel like that's not just an issue here in the confines of like Reading and the surrounding areas. Is I had a guest on a couple episodes back that she's running in a very heavily like rural district, and the sense that a lot of these same issues that it's like they focus on a tiny sliver of the population when they don't focus on the bigger picture. Because she even mentioned, because she's running for state senate, is the fact that, you know, we talk about greener infrastructure and we talk about like bringing back things like the railroad, even for the, whether it's the city of Reading or if it's rural central Pennsylvania, is you can't just look at the one sliver. It's like how that's a waste of time if you're not looking at the whole picture.
Absolutely.
So then going back to, oopsie, I lost my questions here a second. Okay, so with all that said, I don't think I actually asked you this question, but like what made you want to run in the first place? Because I feel like I mean, we have an idea what the pulse of what Reading is and what Reading needs, but what for you personally made you want to run for this position?
When I started my coursework in accounting, I did it from like a trying to learn more about our great capitalism and just figure out there was just some things about economics and things that just didn't make any sense to me and I wanted to learn more about it. And the things that I learned, I feel like I kind of didn't agree with the way certain things work. And they're just kind of the law of economics. But I didn't really agree with that. And so I think that I would like to make changes in for the whole state, not just Reading. On how the laws are made to protect corporations at the expense of the consumers. And there has to be a in between spot where you can protect the corporations as well as the consumers. And that's something that I don't think too many people think of because they're either for big corporations or against big corporations. So that's part of the reason that I wanted to run for office to try to help in that way.
And when you were talking about like seeing within your coursework and like economic things that you didn't necessarily like agree with per se. Is there an example in this sense that like rings true at home, that it's like this is the reason, like this is the example I could give that like why I'm running, because this is why I'm like frustrated about this issue is when I yeah.
I knew you were gonna ask that. I don't really have a specific economics theory example. It's mostly laws that are in place that I feel protect the consumer, or I mean the businesses, at the expense of the consumers.
Yeah, I mean, like when you were talking about that, now I know it's not like necessarily a business, but it in a different way, I think it protects the people of privilege, in the sense that if you, how does this work? I know like you can pay a tax, you have to pay a tax if you live outside of Reading. And you work in the city of Reading, you have to pay a tax. But I forget that I think the residential tax is higher than the tax you pay on your income for the job you have in Reading. So in the sense of like, and I could be wrong, but I know that there's a stipulation that the tax you pay to work in Reading is less than what you pay as a taxpayer living in Reading. And just like, I mean, that's not necessarily like a business inside the city of Reading, but that's another example of like how it privatizes the privilege before the underprivileged, and the fact that just creates a bigger problem of economic issues and economic disparities in Reading.
Right. That's a really good example, actually.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different things. It's just, I don't know. I could talk for hours about it. So when talking about a lot of these like issues, eco districts, but also like just talking about this fairness between residents and businesses and how the laws are written, if there was like one thing you wanted the listeners to take away as far as like a factor of an issue you're concerned about, what would it be? Like in addition to what we have already mentioned.
Okay. Well, I want to backtrack a second.
That's okay. Go for it.
The eco districts also addresses that what you were just talking about with the privilege and the living in different areas, because the eco district promotes mixed income living, so it's not affordable housing or luxury housing. It's, you know, everybody can fit in there. But what was your question again?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just like, I was saying, in addition to like talking about eco districts and like tax issues, and as far as like fairness with homeowners and stuff like that, is what's another, I guess, talking a little bit more about your like your platform, what is like other things that you would like the listeners to know about that, especially that are different than other issues that are being proposed currently? Because it just seems like either you're for sustainability, sort of, or the other side is like, what the hell is that? So, yeah. So I guess just like kind of like expanding upon, like, I know we talked about two specific things, but maybe like going in a little more detail on like broader, what's like the platform and what would you like the listeners to know the most about what you're advocating for, basically?
So there's two things, actually. The Green New Deal, The Green Party's version of the Green New Deal is more comprehensive than the Democrats' watered down version of the Green New Deal. The Democrats' version drops a ban on fracking, it drops the ban on nuclear power, and it drops the cut in military spending. And it extends the deadlines to 2050. So that's one. And the other one is ranked choice voting. I think we should have ranked choice voting everywhere, but specifically in Pennsylvania. That way, less likely for the quote unquote lesser of two evils to get in office.
But I guess what I was gonna say to that is, so when you were talking about the Green New Deal, I feel like let's stop there, 'cause I think the fact that so we've seen in the news that the Green New Deal that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ed Markey proposed together, I guess that was early last year. Yeah, it's just like time's flown since then. But how could you apply like the concept of the Green New Deal as a state rep? Because I feel like when we talk about the Green New Deal, whether it's the Greens version or the Dems version, it's like always up here. But then we never talk about the like the next layer of government that's right below that.
It's definitely a federal level issue. But we need the citizens to be educated on it and to advocate themselves for it. And we need the state and local government representatives to learn about it, educate about it, and advocate for it. We need to start from the ground up. It's not working, waiting for the top down to work. So the best way to make it happen is start from the lowest level possible and spread it and watch it grow.
So as a state representative, what would be out of like everything that's proposed in the Green New Deal? I guess if you could help to like with building like coalitions in the state house and working to at least begin to pass a green Pennsylvania's version of a Green New Deal. What would be like the main thing that you would try to stress or you would work towards to get successfully passed in the Pennsylvania legislature?
Now, I'd have to do more research on it, but I think I would focus first on renewable energy because I think that is the best way to bring sustainable jobs to any area, and that will renewable energy already helps with the net zero goals, and it helps with the reducing waste goals. So starting there would just kind of give us a leg up. And I feel like no matter what people's political views are or affiliation, I'm pretty sure a lot of people can get on board for renewable energy because it pays for itself. It's cheaper in the long run.
Yeah, and I feel like just adding to what you said there, that I feel like it would be a perfect segue to getting rid of the whole fracking industry and having a better transition
Absolutely.
for Pennsylvanians that are employed in that industry. Because I mean, our history has had a horrible history of of just this constant cycle of fossil fuel extraction here in Pennsylvania, and that it's like after a while, and just everything I've been seeing in the news, even these last few weeks about climate change, it's like, when are we gonna stop? Like, come on, when are we gonna stop? So before we kind of start to wrap up some things, I guess with everything that's going on with the election that's coming up, what is one thing you would like the listeners to take away from what you discussed, or maybe something you haven't mentioned yet?
Almost all of what I discuss kind of goes hand in hand with each other, with just making our environment more green. And I mean our residential areas and our business areas, keeping them clean and pushing for the Green New Deal and ranked choice voting.
So with all of that said, and I think, yeah, all of them are point especially important, is so kind of to wrap up things and a little more lighthearted questions. And these are things I always love to hear, every guest, like different response to them. So if you could define what sustainability is, what would it be?
I would define sustainability as not having to worry about our own future or the future of generations to come. And we accomplish that through community engagement.
Is so everything you said in that, what would it be like summarized into one word?
Two words, renewable future.
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten many different ones over the episodes. Like I had a guest on that in the moment they were like, sustain. I was like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But no, I think it's interesting to see, it's more of a factor of being interested in seeing where people's like thought patterns are when talking about sustainability. So, one of those things about sustainability is having a better, adequate food system, but also just eating healthier in general. So, do you have a favorite vegan dish? And if you don't, what is something you would want to try?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know much about vegan cuisine. I love meat. It would be hard for me to give up meat, but I ought to talk to my niece about it. She's vegan. I guess maybe a taco.
Yeah, I mean, there's like different options out there. I was just curious because like sometimes I get like people that are like hardcore vegans that they're like, oh my God, this is my life. So like people kind of like yourself that are like, I don't know. It's interesting because I've recently gone not 100%, but like close to it. More so because of like health reasons, but it's interesting where it's like you have people on one side that are like, great, that you're like doing all these great things, but then it's like the other side of the coin where it's like the hardcore vegans that are just like, oh my God, you need to like end everything, like all animal products. But I think if we do it sustainable in some ways, it has its own place for sure. And then kind of my final question with this is, if you could wake up tomorrow and you only could do like something around sustainability and the environment and like climate change, what would be like the job you could spend the rest of your life doing?
Probably eco districts outreach, honestly. Helping going around the country or whatever, helping communities with the process.
Yeah, I think a lot of their ideas are really different than I think how we've approached urban development or urban planning when it comes to sustainability. So I think that, yeah, that I think that has a really important key role in the community. So with that being said, thanks, Noelle, for coming on the show and kind of sharing some of your ideas and interests and like why you've decided to run for the PA House District 127 on the green ticket and what that means. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to another episode of Sustaining with Shayna. You can now listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and many other platforms. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave a review or comment. To follow us on Facebook or Instagram, go to sustainingwithshayna.com. Also, what you read and listen to here on the platform was carefully created and curated content made just for you, the listeners. Any generous donations can help to keep me supplying you with great content. Just go to Sustaining with Shayna's website. Click on the donate page to donate. Glad you're here. Thanks a million for listening.